Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I think there's a desire, and I could be wrong, of course, but I think there's a desire at some level in all of us to want to be authentic. And I think in the general understanding of that desire, that word, we believe it to be good. Some of us struggle with that general definition of being authentic because we're very guarded. Maybe we have a lot of pain or hurt in the past. Maybe somewhere in our history it was modeled to us, or we were told to just, you know, kind of be guarded and be careful. And I think there's some good counsel in some of that, but not to the extent where we become closed off, we become phony, or we say, okay, for me to be authentic, I have to share everything that I feel and think, and that's just me. I think with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to become like Christ, regardless of what we feel and regardless of what we personally think. And I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about a phrase that we've probably coached others or others have coached us. It's just, you know, the phrase, just be yourself. I think within the context of someone saying, just be yourself, that I think that when that phrase can be helpful is when we're saying, listen, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, or going into a meeting, or you're nervous about something, when somebody says, just be yourself, I think they're trying to bring a sense of peace to you and I. This is, listen, I'm your friend. I like you. Just go in with your general sense of personality, because all of our personalities vary. I don't think they're saying, go in, be yourself, share all your deepest feelings, and if they don't like it, too bad. Because you're being authentic. And I think when we interpret it that way, it is very much a detriment to us, to relationships, other people, and can be a conflict in what God's Spirit is doing in our life. The Christian life is about transformation. Amen. It's about being born again, that all things become new. We renew our thinking so that we're transformed, right? We transform that. We're supposed to change. And I feel sometimes that we struggle because we think, not that we consciously think about it, but it may be that some of us think this whole idea of self in a real singular way. Now, don't run away with this. Listen to this. Let's finish this. I want you to know that we kind of have more than one self. That doesn't mean that we're all, you know, bipolar or that we have multiple personalities or that we... I'm not talking about that. Let me put it to you this way. Have you ever disagreed with yourself? I do. I do all the time. I want to go exercise. That's one of my selves. But there's also a self in me that says, I'd like to lay down and just eat donuts with some chocolate milk and some really good coffee with some cream. Now, you may not like that stuff. I'm just telling you about myself. I have more than one self. I have more than one self. You did what? I want to wring your neck. Then there's the other self that says, hey, come here. Let's talk about this. Let's get this right. We have more than, sorry, getting up's a little tough sometimes. I could tell some of you were like, oh, he made it. He didn't grasp for the pulpit or anything. He did it all by himself. I want you to know that was two selves fighting. I thought, don't kneel down. And the other one said, do it. Right? Listen, Paul writes about this. He writes about it in Romans chapter 7. And you jot that down. You can look it up later. Read the whole chapter. But Romans 7, you'll find it. Around verse 15, he starts. And he says, you know, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, those are the things I do. Now, as believers, we throw in, through salvation, faith in Christ, he comes into our life. Now we throw Jesus in the mix on the self that we are supposed to become. And the great thing about the Lord is he doesn't leave us just to try to do it and figure it out on our own. He has sent the Holy Spirit to each of you to contend with yourselves, the selves, the whole lay down and eat donuts person. To contend with us. To make us more like him. You get to keep your personality. It's a gift. It's when the personality gets corrupted by one of the selves inside and begins to change our conduct. And so we want to be authentic, but sometimes we use the thought and the word of being authentic as an excuse to be harsh or to be critical. We sometimes use the thought of being authentic as our hall pass to get away with something lesser than what we should really be or be becoming. And so we like the idea of they're authentic. I want to be authentic. And that sounds good. Just be yourself. But Paul writes about the self in him that is not productive, it's not good, it's not Christ-like. And yet those are the things that he wants to do and become. I've had conversations with my wife. I didn't even say it yet, Mother. What are you laughing at? Just because she knows. I've had these conversations with my wife. I'll say, you know what, I kind of feel like maybe, you know, you can be free in 15 minutes or so, and the conversation goes something like this. I'm not quoting all the conversation because there's been multiple. You know, maybe I kind of feel like going for a walk. She goes, oh, well, yeah, okay. And a few minutes later, I say, you know, it was a really good idea. You know, it's just one of those good romantic ideas. When I say romantic, I don't mean like between her and I and it's a date. I mean, it was just kind of a nice romantic idea, you know. hey, that'd be nice. It was just a nice idea. And then we don't go for a walk. We still hang out. We're still good with each other. It wasn't like, you know, it was just, you know, it's like, hey, we should go out to dinner tonight. Well, now I'm grateful for our community and all the fast food places. And I'm grateful for the diners. I visit these places. But then it's like, well, we got to drive all the way to La Crosse. What's our schedule? And yeah, you're kind of looking tired. I'll call family restaurant and place a takeout order. And so we compromise. You know, it's the different selves in operation. I'd really like to go do that, but yeah, right? You go through this stuff, only we go through it in like major things in our life, not just these surface things that are somewhat immaterial and no big consequence. This fight inside, you know, Galatians 2:20 talks about we're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, but we live unto Christ. It's Christ in me. We know these verses. We know when Jesus says, you know, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. If you want to be my disciple, if that's what you want to do, you know, he says it in the gospel. He says it in Luke 9. And we know it's this battle and this fighting of our flesh, and we who are in the church, I don't think there's a desire that we come into this faith in Christ and say, okay, now my goal is to be a hypocrite. I don't think that's our train of thought. But when we begin to live out what looks like Christ, and we purposely don't obey Christ, and that becomes our life, our pattern, okay? Now we're moving and infringing upon the boundary of what a hypocrite is. All of us, we believe in Christ and we endeavor and go through the process of dying to ourself and allowing him to live in us, and we have this conflict between our flesh and the spirit. We fail, we trip up, we make mistakes. I want you to know that that doesn't make you a hypocrite. A hypocrite is proclaiming something and going on and living without care, without concern, without conviction, and just live differently. If you're living one way here and a different way during the week because you're putting on a show here, that, you know, that's hypocrisy. But all of us in the transformation process, we sin. We make mistakes. So I'd like to say this to you and to those who aren't believers who are looking at the Christians and criticizing their failures when some of them are sincere and going through the process of change. I want you to know that's not hypocrisy, even though you might label that to give yourself license not to submit to Christ and come into the church and use other people's example so that you don't have to come into faith. That's problematic, but that is a problematic thing for you. It's not a judgment on the church. We, as we grow in him, we know his word directs us to become different than where we got found by him. And there's a journey in that. And, you know, you want to be authentic. And I think in that general context, that's good. But understand that you and I need to act. Say act. We need to act like the person that we are called to become. And you think, well, that's kind of phony because that's not who I am. Please, stay with the process here and the work of the Holy Spirit. We need to act like the person we are to become, even though at the moment that doesn't seem to be our authentic self. Becoming, right? In simple ways, as a child growing up, you have your heroes and your heroines that, you know, as a kid in an immature way, you start to act like some of them. It's why parents are paying $100 for a jersey of their favorite player, or spending $60 on the little princess outfit so they can play the music, the video, and twirl. I just get dizzy. And their little thing gets to poof out, and it, you know, right? That's not authentic, but they're acting like someone in their mind at that stage of development, like they want to become. For you and I, it happens. Why do you think the golfers in this room have more than one big driver? That's the big club you see swinging at the tee. And anyhow, I'm not going to explain golf to you, but why do you think they have more than one in their garage? Because they buy a new one that someone on TV hits who's really good. And if I can get that club in my hands, I will hit the ball just like them. No, we don't. We stink. Listen, if you're in this room and you play golf, you stink. No offense, I'm not being critical. We stink. If we were good, you wouldn't be here this morning. You'd be on TV playing somewhere in a tropical atmosphere. And we'd all be watching you. We need to act like that which we want to become, and not say, I'm being authentic, I am who I am, and God made me this way, and so I'm just going to be myself. And you all have to live with it. And then they use phrases like this. You listen to this phrase. I'm just being honest. I sit with people all the time, and they say, well, I'm just being honest. I've been in meetings with groups of people, and I've watched the dialogue, and they'll say something. They'll say, well, I'm just being honest. And they use that. I'll just tell you this. It's a lazy comment. Because what it means is, I don't have to put forth any effort to change, to communicate appropriately. I can just say, well, I'm just being honest. I'm just being me. I'm just being authentic. And they use that to cover up that which is rude and critical and hurtful. You see, the advice to just be yourself isn't always sound advice. You and I, we think there is some greater importance about being self-expressive because we're authentic. We value to ourselves self-expression rather than self-awareness. See, self-expression allows, at any cost, no matter what, under the guise of authentic, or I'm just going to be me, or God made me this way. See, there's something that matters more than just blurting out everything you feel. It's about choosing how to act. You and I, we feel things and we just kind of let it go, or we come up with catchphrases so that we can get away with our self-expression rather than being more self-aware and choosing how to act Because rather than ruining or breaking trust, we are supposed to be building trust. And everything you and I feel does not have to be said. Oh, well, Pastor, I just don't want to stuff things. It's not good to stuff things, and I will just, you know, that's not healthy. So I got to let it out. You're lazy. If I do that, I'm lazy. I have to be able to edit and process so that my conduct is right, regardless of my feelings, that self-awareness is more important than self-expression. And I'm not suggesting that you have to stuff things. I'm suggesting that you and I have to edit and allow the Holy Spirit to help us. And it's not that you can't ever express anger or that you can't express some frustration, but it needs to be done in a way that is Christ-like.
Amen.
Jesus... Thank you, back row. You know what that does? That lets me know that between me and them, everyone else could hear it. If it reached them, it reached us all. See, it's tough in the moment. We feel something and it gets to us. But it will produce unnecessary hurt and unnecessary conflict if we do not, you and I, with the Holy Spirit living in us, dying to ourself, going through the process, the edit, the transformation, that we should now be acting like we are called to act, even though we are not there yet. That's not being fake. That's not being phony. That's called, I'm choosing conduct to become the person I'm called to become. And trust me, that's way better than letting myself out right now. See, Paul writes this in Ephesians 5, in verse 1 and 2. He says, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. The verse goes on. The point I want to make is, he says, be imitators. When you and I think about imitation, we think about it being fake. It's a copy. It's not the real thing, right? You go to a clothing store, got some nice brands, some really good stuff. And then you can go over to some discount store and get something that might kind of look like it, but it's not the same quality. It's not as good. It's going to wear out. You put it in the washer the first time, you take it out, it's in shreds. Oh, has that happened to you? You keep going. Right? There's a difference. So when he says, be imitators of God, it means I am not transformed yet to be like him, but I am going to copy. I am going to do. I am going to choose to be like him. And let's face it, as we begin to do these things and we commit to it and we overcome ourself and we start to conduct ourselves and we tend to think like this now, this becomes who you are. That becomes authentic. Listen, you're called to change. Oh, people never change. In Christ they do, if they become self-aware and don't get lazy and tell the rest of the world, you just got to put up with me because this is who I am. This is who I've always been. You are exalting the power of that and the disobedience to Christ who he's calling you to be. I want you to know that all of that, if you break it down, that's what you're saying. All of us have tendencies, pretty strong tendencies. Some things change easy. Some things take real initiation. Did you know that in a conversation with someone, if they say something and you're getting worked up and emotionally and you got yourself ready to, did you know that you actually don't have to say anything? Did you know that that was ever even an option? Do we know that? Just because you feel something doesn't mean you have to say it. And if you feel something, you may say it. But maybe we need to go through some type of process and filter of the Holy Spirit of what we're going to say and convey and how we are going to do it. Because we're here to build trust, not break it down. Well, please, please know this. We're not, please, we are not supposed to create more drama. We're supposed to minimize that. And after all, who says you're right? My feelings are valid. Your feelings are valid. Your feelings are valid. But that is not your hall pass to conduct yourself less than who we are supposed to become. All of us wrestle with this. The pastor. See, our titles don't make us immune to this process. Your length with Christ doesn't make you immune to the challenge. It's a sincere faith. And I'll tell you, if we will do this in private, if we will do these things private within ourselves and in our life, that in our private world we do this, I want you to know you and I will behave in public. That's not even the right word I want to use. If we conduct ourselves poorly in public, it's usually a sign that we're not being disciplined in private or practicing in private. No, we're not calling you to be phony or fake or not to be authentic. It's a call to change. And the authenticity should be connected to I'm authentically changing and becoming the person God has called me to become. And not allow ourselves to do Christian things and follow Him and read His Word and praise and give and do some other things that are very biblical, okay? And then come and have misconduct because we just think everybody has to kind of just accept me the way I am. And if they just don't accept me being myself, then they're not very Christian. It's amazing how we deflect and we start to point at other people when we don't really want to look inside and take responsibility for ourselves. Did somebody say I was right? Oh, okay. I thought I heard somebody say it. I wasn't asking for people to say it. Because I can't really take credit for it because I really didn't write it. I just get to experience it, share, and repeat it. Why don't you stand up, please, all over this room. Christian life about transformation. It's a life of obedience to the Holy Spirit within you, within me, Jesus within me, my different selves. We'll fight it. I like the moments where I have two selves or three or however many at the moment show up in me. And then one that I listen to and carry out the attitude and conduct of it. And I go, wow, that self was like God and the Holy Spirit, like Jesus right now. Not in arrogance, but like, wow, you have progressed me. I'm changing. I'm transforming. I'm denying myself. And sometimes that self doesn't even speak real loud because it's dying. It's dying. It's on its last breath. Hallelujah. And the breath of the Spirit, the breath of life, is leading, and we're following. I don't wear number 10 in a Vikings jersey anymore. That was Fran Tarkington back in the day. You're like, it's Fran Tarkington. One of the greatest scrambling, throwing, running quarterbacks who never won a Super Bowl in my book. Yeah. Had my mom take little letters on the back of my practice sweatshirt when I was a kid. She took the time because, you know, technology was different. You had these little letters you put on and then have to iron each one. And hopefully it sticks and stays through multiple washings. And it said Tarkington on my jersey because I was quarterback. I'd watch him on Sundays and Monday nights. Cheer for him. Cry when they lose. Yeah. And I'd go to practice. And I wanted to play like Tarkington. I wanted to throw the ball. I was not Tarkington. I was never going to be Tarkington. I'm Randy Williamson. But I'd go out in the neighborhood and we'd play. They had to call me Tarkington. Then when I started playing middle linebacker, then I had to have 51 on my jersey. Dick Butkus from the Chicago Bears. The greatest linebacker in history. And you can argue it all you want. You're wrong. Yeah. I wanted to act like them. I'll be honest with you, I even started to walk like him when I saw him walk on and off the field. Now, I'm a skinny kid. You know, Butkus was big. But he'd kind of walk like this, you know, on and off the field. As soon as I get those shoulder pads on game day and practice day, and something happened. I'd go out and practice, I'd make a tackle, come off the field, whatever. I'm telling you the truth. She took a ceramic class and got a little football figure and had to paint 51 on it. Brought it home as a gift. Dick Butkus sat in my room. Yeah. I still have it in a box somewhere. Now our jersey should bear his name. You will authentically become. And it'll move you out of laziness and from taking advantage of people. And you will build greater trust with people. And you won't have to use catchphrases. Like, I want to be critical and hurtful right now, so I'm just saying, well, I'm just being honest. No, you're not.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.